of Rat's reputation. I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 9. Turning, Rat hopped through the hole that led to his storeroom and grabbed the rope he'd braided together from three of Rocky's blankets. He slung it over his shoulder, crept through the tunnel to the room he usually slept in, and slid down into the hollow under the trunk, his pantry still well-stocked with dried plants and insect jerky, his fire pit carefully banked, kindling and wood stacked beside it. Squeezing outside, he'd closed off Rocky's hole early in the winter to dig himself a smaller opening. He stumped over the first blades of grass to the top of the riverbank.
"So, how well can you swim?"
he called to the lizard.
"I am not overly proficient,"
came the wobbly voice above the river's rush.
"Surely a more efficacious plan would involve you alerting the emergency services upriver."
"Nah."
A quick look told Rat the rope should be plenty long enough.
"I'll just tie a slat of wood about your side to the end of the rope here."
Setting it down, he moved to one of the trunk's exposed roots.
"I toss it out to you, you climb on, and take a deep breath."
"A deep breath?"
he heard.
"Yeah."
He dug his claws into the bark, peeled off a strip as big as the lizard.
"I can probably get you halfway across before you even hit the water, but you hang on real tight, you'll be fine."
Nothing for a moment. Then a faint,
"It would be for you a journey of less than a half hour's duration to town."
"Why wait?"
The strip of bark under one arm, Rat moved back to his rope.
"You don't want one of those hawks swooping down to grab you off, believe me. And no otter would be stupid enough to try swimming in water this rough."
"Yet I am expected to swim through it."
Rat had to laugh.
"You'll be skimming, not swimming."
He poked a hole near one end of the slat, strung the rope through, and tied a knot.
"Any more questions?"
"Not as such, no."
"Good."
Rat stood, let the rope run out a bit in his claws. Spreading his whiskers, he tracked the breeze, gauged the distance, and started whirling the slat over his head.
"I'll try to lay it right across the top of your rock there, but you might want to get out of the way."
"Oh, yes."
The lizard's eyes big and black, he scuttled down almost to the water.
"It would not do, I suppose, to have my head smashed in by the instrument of my supposed deliverance."
"Couldn't have said it better myself."
Flinging the slat, Rat watched it arch toward the rock. A quick tug, and the payload dropped, hit with a clatter, the rope trailing down almost to the roiling face of the river, before curving back up to Rat's paw.
"There you go. Climb on."
"A moment."
The lizard raised his right front foot with claws crooked upward, clenched his eyes, and said,
"My lady dolphin, mistress of all waters, smile upon our endeavor today, and my lord Eft, master of the air and patron of all lizards, grant your servant safe passage to the..."
"Can we get on with this?"
Rat rolled his eyes and started taking up the slack. The lizard blinked.
"Of course."
He lowered his claws, scurried over to the slat, and wrapped himself around it.
"Whenever you're ready, sir."
"Okay, here we go."
A heave, and the slat and lizard flew off the rock toward him. Paws flashing, he reeled the rope in, the slat sailing through the air, but it was already dropping, was going to hit, his whiskers told him, a little less than halfway to the shore.
"Hang on!"
he yelled, hauling as fast as he could. The slat slapped into the water then, the current grabbing it, but Rat was ready. Pivoting, he let the river wash it downstream, kept pulling, guiding the slat toward a spot along the bank without too many big rocks. As far as he could tell, the slat only flipped over a couple times, always righting itself with the lizard still aboard. It didn't hit the bank that hard either, skidding into the mud right under the tap roots of Rat's stump. Yes! He ran down, grabbed the slat, dragged it further up onto the shore. You okay, buddy? The lizard was stone cold under his paw, which was normal for a reptile, Rat supposed. But after a few seconds, he stirred and whispered,
That is not an experience I would relish repeating.
Rat grinned.
Looked like fun to me.
That got a series of blinks from the lizard's bulbous eyes.
I will assume that was meant to be humorous.
He wrenched his claws from the wood and held them up.
I am Skink of Denalis Kiva, pleased to make your acquaintance.
I'm Rat,
Rat said, taking the claws and shaking them.
Good thing I was home.
Skink's mouth dropped open.
Rat, did you say?
Uh-oh.
Look, I don't know what stories you might have heard about me in town, but...
Stories?
Skink cocked his head.
I am unfamiliar with any rat tales. I was merely taken aback by...
The lizard's nose twitched, and he gave a crisp little sneeze.
Oh, hey, let's get you dried off.
Rat undid the slat, tossed it into the river, and began coiling the rope.
You feeling up to a climb?
Perhaps one of no great duration.
Rat gestured to the stump and started up the bank, the wet part of the rope trailing behind him.
The deck's on top. I'll go in through the bottom, grab a towel, and meet you.
Oh, yes, very well.
A scuffling, and Rat looked back to see the lizard scramble up the side of the stump. Nodding, he spread the rope out to dry, slipped into his hole, climbed the tunnels, grabbed one of Rocky's blankets, stuffed it out the hole onto the roof, and followed. Skink was already there, perched on the edge, his head jerking from side to side.
A lovely view.
Yeah.
He spread the blanket over the wood.
It's not exactly a towel, but works just as well, I've found.
Oh, thank you, Rat.
Skink scurried onto the blanket.
Oh, forgive me, it's just... Your lack of name is very novel.
Rat shrugged.
You said your name was Skink. How's that any different from my name being Rat?
The lizard gave a toothless grin.
Well, my actual name is...
And he rattled off a series of clicks and squeaks, some of which Rat more felt through his whiskers than heard.
A bit difficult, you'll agree, for non-reptilians to pronounce.
Huh.
All the lizards Rat had seen around Otter's Gate, and all the times he'd hidden in the bushes outside their kiva, up by Donald's Lake to watch their weird ceremonies, this was the first one, he realized, that he'd ever actually spoken to.
But why go by Skink? You're sure not the only Skink I've seen in these woods.
Skink's brow wrinkled, then he nodded.
Oh, I see. No, it's just that Skink is the literal translation of...
He did all his clicks and squeaks again. Rat spread his paws.
So, like I said, you're a skink named Skink. I'm a rat named Rat.
Oh, dear.
Skink tapped his claws together.
I'm not explaining this well. My name, you have to understand, is a series of 37 distinct syllables. The same 37 syllables, in fact, that every skink has as his or her name.
Wait, you're all named Skink?
No.
The lizard rubbed his tail.
In Cobraic, the common language among reptiles, each of those 37 syllables has 7 possible pitch accents, giving each skink's name a unique pronunciation. The name, therefore, has a specificity untranslatable into any mammalian tongue, a skink and yet not skink, general and yet personal.
He shrugged his thin shoulders.
Most mammals cannot tell us apart to begin with, and Skink is, after all, my real name, though, of course, it is not my real name at all.
Rat laughed.
Well, that sure clears it up.
He yawned and stretched.
Me, I've never had a real name, far as I can tell. I've just always thought of myself as Rat.
Most unusual.
Skink scurried off the now damp blanket and shook himself.
And most dangerous.
Dangerous?
That made Rat sit up.
What do you mean?
Well, names ground us in our earthly realm. To go nameless is to invite certain and oft-times unwelcome attentions from those above. The curial powers, I believe they are called in your language and practice?
Oh, them. Rat waved a paw. They want to mess with me. They'll have to get through the high ones first.
Skink's black eyes went wide.
The high ones? Do you mean...
And the lizard clicked out the exact word Nona had always used for the high ones, a word Rat had never been able to say without spearing his tongue on his incisors. Rat sat up further.
You speak Shurid?
I dabble.
The lizard flicked his claws.
But are you implying a familiarity with the religion of the squirrels?
Well, yeah.
Rat breathed away the sudden tightness in his stomach.
I grew up in a gypsy caravan, actually.
Extraordinary! Few non-squirrels are granted access to their cults.
Skink cocked his head.
Seems odd to me, however, when you imply that the high ones somehow differ from the curial powers.
Well, they do. The high ones are the forces of nature. The curials, they're made-up storybook folks, ravens living on the moon and like that.
I fear I must disagree.
The lizard settled onto his stomach, his front claws folded.
For when I say those above, I am translating the word...
And he made a sound like a breeze rustling through leaves.
That is the Cobraic term for those who embody and direct the natural forces of this world. Squirrels have traditionally translated this as...
He rattled out the Shurid word.
Which you then translate as high ones. Obviously, therefore, when you say high ones and I say those above, we are describing the same group of supernatural entities. Agreed?
Wait a minute.
Rat tried to think of an objection, but Skink was going on.
And since theologians for thousands of generations have considered the curial powers to be equivalent to those above, the high ones must also be...
No!
Rat slashed at the air.
No possible way!
Oh, well, let us test this hypothesis.
Skink held up one claw.
There are 12 lords and ladies of the curious, 6 lords and 6 ladies. How does that compare to your high ones?
The 12 names from Nona's stories flashed unwelcome through Rat's head. 6 were always he, and 6 she, too. He shook them away.
That doesn't mean anything.
As I thought.
Skink held up a second claw.
Each of the curial powers is said to rule over a certain distinct aspect of nature. The raven on the moon, you mentioned, for instance, is the Lady Raven, and she...
Night's Eye.
He couldn't help hearing Kylie's voice, soft and silvery as the moonlight in her fur.
Someone once told me Night's Eye was the Lady Raven.
He swallowed.
And Shadowbane, the curials must have a Lady Squirrel, right?
Skink nodded.
Her realm is that of justice, and she takes herself daily into our earthly affairs in her struggle to right wrongs wherever they occur.
The lizard spread his front paws.
The Lord Eft, the Lady Dolphin, the Lord Kitfox, they all...
Earth Mover.
His throat tight, Rat could barely form the words.
Who would Earth Mover be?
The lizard blinked once.
Well... He whose curial realm is Earth is the Lord Armadillo, so I would assume that...
Armadillo?
Rat stared at the blanket, stretched out in the afternoon sun, the tin cup he still used at every meal, the fire pit and the hollow under the tree trunk, those big, gentle claws carrying him up the snow-covered riverbank, saving his life for the second time.
Rat?
Skink's voice poked at him like the spikes of a pine tree.
Are you all right?
Not really, no.
Rat turned to face the lizard.
I need to know everything you can tell me about the curials.
And if you could have heard them laughing, because the curials, they don't laugh, like you and me, when our sneezing wheezes start tickling our whiskers, jostling our tonsils, and patting the pads of our paws. That's just laughter like folks have laughed for as long as there's been breath to draw. But the curials, when they laugh, they roll the sky back to keep the blue from getting smudged. They cast purple misty blankets over the trees so as not to muss their lovely leafy coiffures. And then they let their laughter roll out big as thunder, small as dust, joyous as supper, and tricky as a thin winter wind whistling in through an unseen crack in your bedroom window casement. And when they laughed at that rat, well, that was even laughter of another kind altogether.
Bartolomeo Paracas.
Through the woods, Rat scurried, stopping now and then to take off his hat and spread his whiskers. No unexpected sounds or scents in the late afternoon shadows, so he kept moving. This was as close as he'd come to Otter's Gate since... He pushed the thought away. He'd crossed the Meerkat Road west of town without seeing anyone, and now he was heading north, the smells of town already faded behind him. Because asking Skink about the Curials had been a big mistake. 6 days the lizard had been his house guest while they waited for the river to drop, and for all the talk they'd thrown back and forth, the only thing Rat had managed to do was get more confused about Curials and High Ones. Simple and straightforward questions he had thought he was asking. Who are the Curials? And what do they do? And where do they come from? But the answers he got, absolute torrents of words had poured forth from the lizard.
The syzygy of transcorporeal non-dimensional concepts
was the only thing Rat remembered from the whole week, because it had started him laughing so hard he'd had to lie down for a couple minutes. And the definitions Skink provided were even worse. Rat would give up at least twice a day, go down to the river and catch some dace, then come back, share the fish with Skink, and they'd start over again. Finally, this afternoon, as they'd stood on the bank, Skink's stepping stones visible once again above the river's surface, the lizard had said,
"Of course, my understanding of the Curial powers is limited. I would recommend you speak to Otter's Gate's shaman for fuller details."
Rat had almost slapped himself in the forehead. Fisher, of course. But,
isn't there anyone else around here?
Skink's head had twitched from side to side.
I fear not. She is the expert.
He had thanked Rat for his hospitality, had turned and started skittering from rock to rock across the calm clearness of the river's face. A few moments of brooding, then Rat had gotten his hat and followed, moving into the woods to cast for Fisher's scent. He had tracked her north and west until the trees began thinning out, a clearing ahead. A single gnarled sycamore stood in the center, windows and doors in the trunk, planks and ropes stretching to form decks between the branches, and Fisher herself squatted off to one side wearing an apron, her back to him and a spade in her paws, as she cleared a patch of earth beside the tree down to the new soil. Rat watched a moment. The last time he'd seen her, she'd been presiding over Grandpa's funeral. He swallowed, stepped into the clearing, and started toward her. He was a dozen tail lengths away when her spade froze, her nose twitching. She looked over her shoulder, and her eyes widened.
Ratayo?
It's just Rat now.
He took off his hat and bowed.
I was hoping you might have time to answer a few questions.
Her eyes darted back to the sycamore, but Rat's whiskers had already told him that she was alone.
I'm surprised to see you. I'd heard you'd left Otter's Gate.
Trying to look non-threatening, he gave her his best smile.
I just wanted to ask about the Curials.
The Curials?
Fisher blinked, set her spade down, and turned all the way around.
Oh, forgive my surprise, but I'd always assumed that you shared your late grandfather's views.
Yeah,
Rat took a breath.
I thought so, too. But I just...
He didn't know how to go on. She nodded.
The voice of the Lady Squirrel often speaks to us, telling us to repent of the evil we've done. And the Lord Tiger stands ready in the laws of our judicial system. If you turn yourself in, I'm sure you'll...
What?
Rat couldn't keep his ears from folding.
Turn myself in? What are you...
You can't run from your conscience, Ratayo.
Fisher held out a paw.
Deep inside, you know the Curials want...
I'm not talking about deep inside!
Rat stepped back.
I'm talking about the Lord Armadillo picking me up off the riverbank. I'm talking about him wrapping me in a blanket, carrying me into a hole he'd dug, and setting me down beside a fire he'd built.
Fisher's paw drew back a bit.
You think you met the Lord Armadillo?
I don't know, but the gypsies always said that Earthmover had led them to me when I was a kid, and now another armadillo shows up, saves my life, then disappears.
Ah.
Fisher licked her lips.
You see, this is how the Curials work, acting through our neighbors and the world around us, revealing themselves indirectly through...
Indirectly?
Rat sputtered a moment.
He picked me up! He left 9 blankets with me!
A considerate stranger, appearing right where and when I needed him?
Always.
Fisher spread her front paws. "That is the essence of the curial powers. Beyond us, but also around us and through us. They are the force that holds our world, our society, our very lives together. They are present everywhere, coming to our aid every moment of every day."
Rat was about to start yelling again, but her scent over his whiskers stopped him.
"It's just words to you," he said, the realization making him take another step back. You don't think there really are curials." "Well, of course there are curials," she gestured upward. "The Lord Lion is the sunlight, and the Lady Lioness is the spring. They work together each year to bring life back to the Lord Armadillo's earth after the gift of sleep bestowed by the Lady Lepidus's winter."
She scooped up a pawful of wet dirt.
"The Lady Dolphin grants her moisture. The Lord Eft wafts his warming breezes upon it. And we earthly folk come together as well to plant, to grow, to celebrate the unity of all life."
She brushed the mud from her paws.
"The curials are very much a part of my life, a part of all our lives."
"But you've never met one."
Rat fixed his gaze on her.
"Have you?"
The twitch of her eyelids told him all he needed to know. He was already turning away as she said,
"The curial powers don't appear to us as... Retile? Where are you going?"
He'd reached the trees by then.
"You know, I remember Grandpa once said that you believed in the curials as much as he did. I see what he meant now."
He looked back and put his hat on.
"He believed in the forces of nature, and, well, when you get right down to it, that's all you believe in too, isn't it?"
He had to turn away from the sudden pain in her face.
"Thank you for your time, Miss Fisher."
His paws just wandered him into the woods then, his thoughts in the gathering twilight cracking like river ice in spring.
If Rocky had just been a traveler, just passing by on his way down to Beaverpool to sell blankets, why would he dig a burrow, light a fire, then go stand outside in the dark and the snow? Sure, maybe he was taking a leak or something exactly at the moment Rat had washed up onto the rocks, but how likely was that?
More likely than Rocky being some god, he had to admit.
Besides, Fisher had said the curials didn't work that way, and Skink had said she was the expert. But that look, when he'd left the clearing, like he'd struck a nerve somehow.
He blew out a breath and sucked it back in. Maybe he should go back, skulk around the sycamore, try to listen in when...
Wait. Blaze. She'd been training to become a shaman for as long as Rat had known her. She'd know this stuff.
Perking his whiskers, he started circling wide around Fisher's clearing, sifting the air for any trace of...
There.
He followed the scent, caught a stronger whiff of her, adjusted his course till he hit a good strong trail, an actual track leading into the woods that had Blaze's spoor all over it. He picked up his pace, headed west through the tree trunks, his nose to the ground. She seemed to be heading toward an ancient grove deep in the woods, a hilltop patch of oaks and elms that Grandpa had brought Rat to many times for his listening lessons. But why would she... But then her scent veered off, led Rat through tangled dogwoods, their white flowers just starting to show, into a small meadow. Trees towered up all around, and in the evening gloom, he saw a long, dark figure stretched out flat on her stomach, her sides barely moving.
Blaze!
He rushed across the stony soil, no injuries visible on her, but her scent, now that he was right beside her, very muddy, like she'd been drinking, or...
Tiny?
Her eyes cracked open, and she coughed a laugh.
Oh, great. I fast for a week, take the mushrooms, and do I get visions?
She rolled onto her back, her words slurred.
No, I get rodents.
Her brow wrinkled.
You smell weirder than usual. What's up? Never mind,
he turned.
I'll get you some willow root and beetle grubs. Those kind of mushrooms on an empty stomach you'll need... Hey!
She thumped one big paw down onto his tail, and Rat looked back at her, her gaze now as clear and sharp as a gust of winter wind through his fur.
I know how to do this. It's part of a shaman's training.
She smiled, and the cold vanished.
Which I'll be done with, thank the gods, either this year or next. Take my spirit walk and be real at last.
Her paw clenched, and Rat wrenched his tail away from the prick of her claws.
Then we'll have some changes around here, you better believe it. Once the Lord Kit Fox comes...
Her voice trailed off, her eyes closing again. Rat wavered. He needed to get her some willow, get her some water, get her mom, even. But...
Are you expecting the Lord Kitfox sometime soon? Don't you start, too.
Her lips pulled back.
Whether Ma believes it or not, the books say the Lord Kitfox takes shamans on their spirit walks. I know he'll come for me. Okay, but...
He squatted beside her.
When you say the Lord Kitfox, you mean somebody real, right?
She rolled her head around to face him.
Like you care. You never...
She stopped suddenly, her whiskers twitching, and before Rat could move, she had thrust her snout forward, her big dry nose pressing into the fur of his chest, her breath quick and hot against him. He jumped back, his hat falling off, just as her head jerked up, her eyes wide.
That scent! The Lord Armadillo! He touched you!
He knew she was only twice his size, but she suddenly seemed much larger.
Look, I don't know if it was... He touched you!
She spun toward the trees.
Come on, we gotta show Ma. No way she can deny it now. When she smells that, I just came from there.
Rat called at her back. Blaze whirled, her brow wrinkling.
You what? Your mom.
He bent down and picked up his hat.
She told me the Curials don't appear to folks that way.
Emotions flashed so quickly across Blaze's face, Rat couldn't begin to make them all out. Rage, hopelessness, disbelief. But a hardness quickly took over, her mouth thin and her jaw set.
Fine. We'll do it without her.
Rat blinked.
We?
Her chin wavering, the resolve in her face melted.
You won't leave me alone, will you?
Her sides started heaving.
Not after...
Her front legs buckled and she dropped. Rat scrambled forward, caught her chin, set her head gently among the pebbles.
Gods!
She groaned.
I'm so hungry.
He forced a laugh.
That's what happens when we don't eat. Now, you wait here. I'll gather up some... No!
As quietly as she spoke, Rat couldn't miss the growl in her voice.
You don't go anywhere till you promise.
Her eyes rolled open and fixed on his.
I was looking for a vision, Tiny, and you showed up. That means you're it. I don't know how or why, but... You've been touched by the Curial powers and sent to me, so we're together on this thing, you understand? You gotta promise me. Yeah, okay.
Rat stepped away.
You just stay right. Promise me!
The words seemed to have weight, darker and colder than the oncoming night.
All right, all right!
Rat shook himself.
I'm not going anywhere. I mean, except to get you some willow root.
Her whole long body relaxed.
And some... Portulaca leaves. There's a patch of it just before you get to the grove.
He exaggerated his sigh.
Doctors always make the worst patients, don't they? Don't make me come over there,
she mumbled, her voice so quiet he barely heard it.
And thanks, Tiny. You don't know what this means to me.
With another sigh, Rat pushed through the dogwoods, ran to a willow he'd seen coming in, and started digging for the roots. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you Part 9 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Music and narration were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.